Well, a pleasant evening to the brothers and sisters from the O'Neill congregation and from anyone else who may be tuning in. We're grateful that you have taken this time to tune in so we can study together through this medium. We sure miss everyone, and we want you to know we're thinking about you and praying for you. And if you have any need, we ask that you call us. If you have any spiritual need, we ask that you call one of the elders, Brother Guy or myself. And that includes if you need to be baptized and your heart's desires to obey the gospel. You call us any time, day or night, and we'll be glad to meet you and immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. We sure love and appreciate every one of you and look forward to the day that we can be back together and studying together in the house of God. And we're thankful that you are interested in spiritual things and continue to build up your faith in those things that are holy and right. If you have your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 7th chapter, I want to read with you an account starting in about verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In the Gospel of Luke, in the 7th chapter, you have one of the outstanding scenes in the life of Jesus Christ. You'll find he's been invited to a home to eat, and he accepted the invitation. And yet at the same time, when you read the Gospel of Luke and the 7th chapter, you'll find there are three pictures or portraits of different individuals in the account we just read. I would that we would take time to look at the three portraits, and to examine each one carefully, and then we'll make application and our time will be up. I want you first to look at the woman identified as a sinner. And notice that at this time, the one who identifies her as a sinner is the Pharisee. Notice, if you will, that this woman had been called a sinner, and I wonder how long she had been going by that label. I wonder how many people, when they looked at that woman, said she's nothing more than a sinner. Then I've often wondered how long had she been engaged in that sin, and then she's tried to quit. Maybe perhaps she had been engaged in some act of immorality and she had tried to stop, and yet at the same time people would continue to label her nothing more than a sinner. I've often wondered what kind of looks she received, if the people sneered and belittled her at that particular time. And then I've often thought about how could she face the pure one knowing she had many sins. But I know one thing, she heard about Christ. Now how she heard about Christ, I do not know. But I do know that she heard about him, and I find out that there's no barrier that could stop her from coming to the Son of God. She finds out that Jesus is in the house of this Pharisee, and this woman knows that Jesus is there, and she says, I'm going to him. Her eyes were upon Jesus. Then if you note in the book of Luke and the 7th chapter, look at her actions. This woman who was known as the sinner, knew that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box, and it was filled with fragrant oil. And in verse 38, she stands and stood at his feet behind him, and she's weeping, and the Bible says she began to wash his feet with her tears. Can you imagine the tears that flowed from the eyes of this woman to have enough water to wash the feet of Jesus? Then she takes the hair of her head, and she dries the feet of Jesus, and then she begins to kiss the feet of Jesus. Some scholars say that in that day and time, an individual would hardly touch the feet of someone else. That a Gentile slave might, but most of the time you'd bring water and let that individual wash their own feet. That's why you find when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples in John 13, he is truly humbling himself. It's a picture of great humility. And yet here is a woman who is not ashamed to wash the feet of Jesus with her own tears, dry his feet with her hair, and then kiss his feet, and then anoint his feet with oil. Though the people of that day identified her as nothing more than a sinner, you find a woman who looks at Jesus and with great humility approaches him with love. But note, if you will, a second picture we have in the Gospel of Luke and the 7th chapter, and that is the Pharisee. And could there be any greater contrast than the woman and this Pharisee? Now, it just could be this Pharisee appears to be a little self-righteous. Notice that when this woman came in and began to do the things that she showed her faith by washing the feet of Jesus and kissing the feet of Jesus and anointing the feet of Jesus, that he said if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was, that she is a sinner. Now notice at this time the Lord did not charge this man with any immoral act, and we have no reason to believe that he was by any means an evil person. It appears evidently that he was interested in religion, for he had invited Jesus into his house. And yet there was one problem. When he looked at the woman, all he saw was a sinner. He did not see the woman in humility at the feet of Jesus. He didn't really witness her tears. All he saw was that she was a sinner. That's why it's important later when Jesus asked the question in later in the chapter, in verse 44, Simon, do you see this woman? The problem was he hadn't saw the woman in her humility sitting at the feet of Jesus and washing the feet of Jesus. All he saw was a sinner. And note at that time, he almost has the attitude of the man in Luke 18. You remember the man in Luke 18 who was also identified as a Pharisee, who went into the synagogue to pray. And while he's praying, he is standing next to an individual. And that individual was a publican. And you remember that the Pharisee said, I'm thankful I'm not like this man. I fast, I tithe, I do all these good things. And all he talked about was himself. But the publican would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. So I want you to think about this man. This man who might have been pure in his own mind had a problem. He saw the sins of others, but perhaps failed to see his own sin. He kind of was cold and selfish and perhaps proud in spirit. So there are two portraits before us. You have the portrait of the weeping sinner, and you have the portrait of the self-righteous Pharisee. But now then, look at the Savior, the picture of Jesus. And notice at first, Jesus does not speak. While this woman is weeping, and while this woman is washing his feet with her hair, while he is She is anointing His feet. Jesus doesn't say anything. He lets her do these things. But notice, He speaks to Simon. And He makes a great statement in verse 44. He said, I have something to say to you. I want you to understand something, Simon, about this woman. And then He tells the parable of the two individuals who owed money. One owed 500 denarii, and the other owed 50. And notice at that time, Jesus said that the man forgave both of them. And He raised a question to Simon, who loved more? And Simon, perhaps sarcastically, I do not know, said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said, you have rightly said. You have answered correctly. And Jesus said, if you looked at this woman, notice what she did that you did not do. When I entered your house, you didn't give me water. He didn't say, you didn't wash my feet. He said, you didn't even give me water so I could wash my own feet. And then Jesus said, she washed my feet. And then He said, you gave me no kiss, but she has not ceased to kiss my feet. Here is a woman that was showing her adoration to the Christ. Then He said, you did not anoint my head with oil. That was the custom of the day to refresh an individual who had been journeying. You'd give them water so they could wash their dusty feet from wearing sandals upon the roads of that day. And you would anoint their head with oil so they would be refreshed. And Jesus said, you didn't even give me the custom of the day. You didn't even greet me with a kiss as was the custom. And yet this woman has anointed my feet with costly oil. And then He makes a great statement in verse 47. He said, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now, why is that? Look at the next statement very carefully. Jesus said, for she loved much. Underscore that word much. Here is a woman who demonstrates her love for Jesus Christ. Then He makes the statement, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then He said to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I've often thought about the words of Jesus. Notice Jesus, when He looked at the woman, He asked the Pharisee, do you see this woman? He doesn't identify her with a negative term. He identifies her as a woman. And then He says the word she longed to hear, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. I have removed your iniquity. I have blotted out your sin. I have taken away your transgression. And here was a downtrodden woman at the feet of Jesus who could leave with joy in her heart. Now, how do we apply that and what lessons can we learn for this text for this week? The first thing I want to put into my heart and into your heart is that great sinners need a great Savior. And look in verse 7 of the Gospel of Luke in the 7th chapter. And notice she had many sins in verse 37. However, Jesus speaks to her. Jesus is willing to forgive this woman of her sin. Though she was one who had many sins, though she was one who had committed iniquity against God, she came to the right place. Now, others may enjoy belittling you. They may enjoy bringing up your past. They may enjoy reminding you of all the things you've done that was wrong. But Jesus doesn't want to remind you of your blunders. He wants to blot them out. Your sins may be great, but one thing you and I must never forget, we serve a greater Savior. Jesus is greater than all of our sins. When I come to my God and I repent of my sin, one thing I know, my God has the power to forgive my sin. I've had people say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what kind of an ungodly life I've lived. You don't know how low I've been in the pig pen. You don't know how far I've strayed. And you know that's really none of my business. That's between you and God. But one thing I do know is do not limit the power of my God. He can take away sin when one truly repents, when one is sorrowful of their sin, When one changes their direction and no longer lives in sin but comes toward God, God will take away the sin. He is a great Savior. Your sins may be great, but my Savior is greater than your sin. The second thing I think we need to learn is great love should be shown to great sinners. When they turn to Jesus, we also need to show love because He shows great love. In the book of Luke and the 7th chapter, notice she loved much. And Jesus returned that love. Jesus even compliments her about her loving much. He said that in verse 47. She loved much. But you know something, my friend? Jesus loved her even more. He loved this woman. And when she repented of her sins, I want to tell you, my friend, that was something at that time that brought Jesus joy. Jesus at that time showed great love. As Christians, we should show great love to those who come to the Lord. The problem with the Pharisee was he didn't show great love. He was too busy puffing himself up. And many times I've seen some of my brethren act like they've never committed a sin, they've never done any wrong, and they walk around like a peacock just strutting. And I'll tell you something, my friend, we need to humble ourselves. Every one of us needs the Savior. Every one of us needs to obey the Christ. And what we need to do is have great love for people who have repented of their sin. Oh, when someone comes to the Lord, we need to rejoice. In Luke 15:10, it says that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. If the angels rejoice in heaven, you and I should rejoice when one sinner repents. I'll tell you, people need mercy and grace. Every one of us needs mercy and grace. But that brings up the third picture, and that is great gratitude and love. Look at that statement, when she loved much. Those are sweet words. And when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, this woman loved the Lord and was grateful that she could walk out of there no longer being labeled a sinner, but now a disciple, one forgiven of their sin. I don't know of any sweeter words this woman would want to hear from the Christ than, your sins are forgiven. Now, Simon sat there, and as far as I know, never heard those words. Why? Pride. The woman humbled herself. She may have been humiliated by what others said, but she was willing to humble herself to obey God, to show her true heart, to repent of her sin, to show her love for Jesus, even if others mocked her and belittled her. You know why a lot of people never are obedient to the gospel of Christ? Why they're never baptized? They're afraid somebody will mock them and belittle them. I'll tell you something, my friend. Let them laugh. Let them belittle you. There's nothing greater than knowing your sins are forgiven by the power of God. And when one goes down to that grave of baptism and they're raised to walk in newness of life and have every sin blotted out, what joy to know that you're free from your past. Every sin has been forgiven. You're a new creature in Christ, and you're a disciple of God. And if you fall short and you truly turn again, God will forgive you. In 1 John 1:9, you remember the divine word said that God is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sin. If we do what? Confess our sin. I like that statement. He's faithful and just. God cannot lie. And God is faithful. God will keep His word. God will do exactly what He said He'd do. If we confess, He'll forgive. Now that means we truly confess and we truly repent. But I'll tell you, isn't it beautiful to know that my sins can be blotted out? To have the great sting of sin removed. To have that sting of guilt taken away. And to have a clean conscience. Isn't that what Peter talked about? When Peter talked about being baptized in 1 Peter chapter 3, what is he saying about verse 21? In verse 21 he said, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, I like to be able to have a good conscience. I like to be able to pillow my head at night and pray to my God and know that my sins have been forgiven. So when I look at three portraits, I see a woman who's willing to go to God for forgiveness. I see a woman who was identified as a sinner but had her sins forgiven. I see a man who may have been a moral man, a good man in many respects, but the problem was he was too proud. Now, I hope that man would eventually see his sin and repent. But at this time, it looks like he just looked with disdain upon the woman. He looked down upon her. But Jesus calls to his mind, look at the woman. Don't look at the label. And then the third thing, I see my Savior. And when I look at my Savior and I see what He's willing to do, it brings me joy. It reminds me of the invitation He gives in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter and about verse 28. The great invitation to all. When He said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His invitation is to all. When you look closely at these three pictures, when you look closely at the three portraits we've just displayed, do you see Jesus? Do you see the Pharisee? And do you see the woman? I want to ask you, between the Pharisee and the woman, which best describes you? Are you a disciple? Have you come to Him? Are you walking in His steps? Because He invites you to have your sins forgiven. This week, as you open your Bible and study, I hope we see what a great Savior we serve. And may our eyes never be distracted by the problems that we're facing, whether it be a virus that's going around, whether it be financial problem, whether it be family problem. I hope that our eyes never taken off Jesus. If you see Jesus the way you should, then my friend, you would be exactly like that woman. You would bow down. And you would repent of your sin and make your life right. I want to thank you for studying with me this evening, and I pray that our time has been profitable.